soul, identity, holier than thou. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The parables of Jesus. There is no end in topics which relate to soul. For soul is the key synonymous term for God, whose qualities include identity. Identity is where it all begins. How is one going to identify intelligence correctly? Intelligence being a quality of mind. How is one going to separate matter and spirit without the ability to identify? And of course, soul being identity, we certainly need to make sure we're identifying correctly. Soul is the term which represents sense. Mary Baker Eddy defines soul as being spiritual sense because spirit is the only substance. How about principle? How can one identify a system and structure unless they're using spiritual senses, which is soul? About life, do you want to identify the correct method, the correct qualities to be expressing in life? Truth. Identifying the difference between truth and error. And love, of course, represents plan and design. If one were building a skyscraper, would you want to be able to identify every single element correctly so that when the building was finished, that it would stand, reject, resist everything that was unlike stability? Would you want it to be still standing if there were an earthquake or a strong wind or whatever the situation may be? Tornado. How about a flood? The qualities of soul are so important to consider because everything hinges around correct identification of the elements. The interesting thing about the qualities of God is that they are all interrelated in an infinite network. For example, could one do without the quality of intelligence of mind, or the wisdom or the knowing? Would one know the difference between a spiritual or a material thought or idea or quality if they didn't have intelligence or wisdom or knowing? If they couldn't reflect those qualities, they couldn't get to the first base. Same with soul. Action is a quality of mind. Suppose you could identify correctly, but you couldn't take advantage of it. You couldn't put it in action. That means action is a part of both soul and life. And how about not having an intelligent system or structure? Principle would have a difficult time. if you didn't have something that was reliable. It has to be an intelligent. One has to be mindful of it. Otherwise, the system and structure is of no value. I already mentioned life. How about truth? Do you want to put into action what is truthful? There's a combination of mind and truth. And love, plan and design. Do you want to know what the plan and design is? Do you want to understand it? Well, the knowing is from mind, and the plan and design is love. So this infinite network is beyond limited description because it is infinite. There's no boundary. And if one does not recognize the infinite network, they're putting a cap on their ability to progress spiritually, and therefore putting a limitation on their experiences. Certainly, we've all read about the wonderful things that Jesus accomplished. Anyone that has studied Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy's writings certainly knows what she accomplished. There's like no limits in what one who is a messenger of God has accomplished. Even Clara Barton, who studied Christian Science but didn't feel she was qualified to call herself a Christian Scientist, perhaps because she was so involved in utilizing the various forms of medicine in assisting people in first aid, she was the founder of the American Red Cross. But her respect for Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy was at the top of the list. She was the strongest advocate that anyone could be of admiring, respecting, and following the works of Mary Baker Eddy. And does anyone really follow the works of Christ Jesus? Did he go to any medical assistant? Did he go to any medicine man? Or witch doctor? Did he use any kind of drug? No. Very clearly, no. He identified properly what the solution was. There is nothing but God. That was his solution. And he did not consider himself God. Dr. Robert Putnam wrote a very, very fine analysis of the Bible. He points out the references directly from the Bible, not from any other source, strictly from the Bible, that supports everything that he states. It's very clear in the Bible that God is all there is and that Jesus is not God. He also points out the elements of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, whereby the church and the state, meaning governments, decided to have a joint relationship. And they decided even how to interpret the Bible, totally closing it to the independent thinker or researcher. Their decision was they wanted to decide and they did, that Jesus is God. How could a man born of a woman and grew up like the typical baby born from a woman's womb ever be considered God? Jesus couldn't be infinite. He couldn't be omnipresent because he had a physical body. If one really studies the Bible, they understand clearly that Jesus did wonderful things because he overcame the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Because he was able to correctly identify truth from error, spirit from matter, spiritual from material sense, intelligence from ignorance, life from death, principle from chaos, and obviously love from hate. The real plan and design of God versus a facade, a fantasy land, and proper system and structure of one's own thought, one's own consciousness, versus the fake. In other words, he recognized the consciousness of God as his consciousness. Did he think he was above everyone else and there'd be no one ever to match him? He said that ye shall do better things than himself. It seems that the reason he made that statement was because we could use what he taught as a very important element in one's own progress. Mary Baker Eddy's probably most advanced work was Christ in Christmas, one of the 16 books that she authored in addition to the textbook Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And there are many illustrations in there. And the final one is blank. It's empty. Ralph Witzke, who was one of our most advanced scientists, translated and interpreted that to mean that the future is open, it's infinite, for continuous study, continuous development, continuous understanding, new dimensions, opening up the door with no limitations. Reference was made in the first few words of this recording to holier than thou. Jesus has been commented upon by Mary Baker Eddy as being the greatest man that ever walked the globe. But did he consider himself holier than thou? Thou being everyone else, or a particular individual that might be referenced as a comparison. He was a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He was trying to teach them, I believe, that humility, not ego and pride, is a key quality of a child of God, of a messenger of God, of a follower of the Christ consciousness. Has anyone ever thought that they were better than someone else? Holier than thou is the phrase that is the operative statement there. How about if someone is a professional runner or even an amateur runner and they're out there running races, foot races, or anyone in competition of anything? Could be a mountain climber. Could be the people in the factory that were working in the early years of the steel industry in America. The man operating the factory wanted to get a competitive attitude instilled in the workers. They were operating 2 or 3 shifts a day, apparently all 24/7, or at least 2 shifts a day. And he decided to write a number on the floor, big chalk. And that number represented how many tons, I believe it was tons of steel, that the shift, the previous shift that was just finished, produced in their last work session. And the people came in that were on the next shift, and they first of all couldn't figure out what that number was, and then they realized that that's exactly what it was. It was a measurement of the performance of the prior shift. So they decided that they were going to beat it. It's like if you're running a race, you want to beat the competitor. If you're driving a car, you want to win the race. If you're racing a horse, whatever you're doing, if you're putting a time measurement on it and you want to improve, then you use numbers as a way to measure it. But should we be competing with thou? Do we want to be holier than thou? Or do we want to compare what we're doing with a generic description? This, I believe, is why the thought came to me to mention the parables of Jesus. Jesus did not talk in those parables unless it was on an impersonal basis. There was no thou, there was no me, there was no they. It was without personal identity. He didn't give names to the people. He might have said, there's a father, or there's a son, or there's a man. But he didn't give them names. Because our focus, our identity, which is soul, should be based on the idea, the thought, not on a person, not on personality, not on material measurements. Also, the thought came to the surface about the phrase, which is a title to a movie by one of the most well-known actors and producers, movie makers. The title was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That ties in exactly with the quality of identity of soul. Identity. What senses are we using to identify correctly. If anyone has had a moral upbringing in their family, and that was supported by any training they may have had in school, they would be able to relate to this very easily. There was a coach that was coaching high school sports, and in the locker room, he stated that if I hear profanity, whoever blurted it out the first time, they would be sent to English class. That was in America, and English, of course, is the standard first language. And the second time, if it occurs, you will be expelled from school. He was the principal of the school also. This happened to be a small school, 30 or 40, 50 students in a class. And it was a school that went from grade 1 to 12. So you were in trouble for 12 years, or being monitored for 12 years. And that was the rule throughout the school. No one ever knew what the word perversion meant, having to do with human morals. And they also honored exemptions from certain classes. So if your parents did not want you to take a class, for example, in biology, then you were never educated on those things that would be putting the focus on matter. Any class that was teaching about the human body. How are we going to identify right from wrong? So that if we do have a goal of making spiritual progress, at least we have a tool that can be utilized to assist at the beginning, at the onset of when one is presented with anything. A tool that would help them filter the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Christ consciousness from the human temptations. The topic of this recording surfaced. The theme of this recording appeared when research was being conducted on the universal level, and by that I'm classifying it in three ways: individual, group, and universal. So this was research being done on something that is affecting the entire universe as we know it. And there was an expert who had all the credentials and experience to be considered one of the most knowledgeable people on planet Earth about this particular topic. He was in an interview with someone else who was a known journalist who was trying to get his thoughts on comments that were made by a well-known actor and performer, happened to be a musician, common household name. In other words, really well known throughout anyone that listens to music. And it was an individual of mature age, the performer was, so it would cover many generations of those who had listened to music. And the one interviewing the expert said, "Would you please watch this clip?" And he played a 15 or 30 second clip of the individual referred to, who was an actor and a musician. And the interviewer was soliciting the comments from the expert on international affairs. And this actor-performer made a comment about the exact international affair that was the topic of the interview. And he made the statement, this is the actor-performer, he made the statement as if he was an expert on the topic of the international affair addressed in the interview. And the response was that the guy was an idiot. He said, "I've really enjoyed his music." By the way, he was also an artist. And he said, "I like his art. But he's an idiot on international affairs. He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't have the facts. And his statement is totally absurd." The expert was very wise in what he said. Because notice what he did. He did not judge the person and discard the whole individual because he was, quote, an idiot on something that he knew nothing about. But he said, "Yeah, this I like the music, I like his artwork, but he's an idiot on international affairs." So he identified, he classified, he categorized it. It was a cafeteria approach. He filtered out as being worthless one item, and he kept the other two. And by the way, his comment was very brief. He simply said he was an idiot. He knows nothing about what he's talking about. Jesus said, your answer should be yea, yea, nay, nay. Don't be rude and ignore. Reply, but do it very quickly. Don't argue. Einstein said that a problem cannot be solved if you're working on the level of the problem. That would be arguing. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't argue with the problem, whatever it is, a sickness, illness, sin, disease, death. Whatever it is, you don't argue with it. You have to be at a level above it to be able to manage it. And managing it, to her, was success. Like in her in one of her articles on vision. She said, can you focus no matter what comes your way? And her definition of focus was to persevere until you overcame the problem. Not argue with it, but hang in there. Keep working at a higher level until the lower level has been dissolved. Work on the divine level until the human level is healed. One of the significant phrases about King Solomon was to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To this day, he is considered the wealthiest man that ever lived. But he didn't seek wealth. When God asked him, what can he do for him? He said, give me the wisdom to be fair in judging my people. The king made all the decisions, and he wanted to be fair in judging them. And there are several instances in the Bible that point out exactly how wise Solomon was in making decisions. Is one ready to take the shortcut to success by going the path of spirit? Or is one going to follow the path of enticement, of human inducements, temptations? They are two entirely different roads. One goes to a dead end. The other one goes to the infinite. The goodness never ends. That shortest path of spirit is following the real path of truth, which ends up getting into the entrance to infinity. Mary Baker Eddy states, infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite progression. No limit, no end. Goes on eternally. It's like reading a book that one has very little understanding of the first reading, and then read it again, and you get a better level of understanding. And if one is reading Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy with an open thought, starting at the beginning, going in there without any preconceived ideas, in other words, a totally clean thought about it, forgetting everything that they thought they knew about it, starting fresh with a fresh inventory of zero thoughts. In other words, reading it like you had never read it before. Reading it like every word is new. looking up even words that seem to be simple. Just see if you can get a fresh light on it. The Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary is a great resource for that. It is one without political correctness. Adjustment is only getting closer to God, not trying to get closer to make a political party be unified with one's own thought, or one's own thought to be unified with a political party, or any dogma, whether it's a church or anything. Could be a company rule or regulation that was immoral, unethical. The director of one of the governments resigned. And he said, they teach how to cheat, lie, and steal. He grew up in an atmosphere where there was a moral foundation of goodness. He couldn't handle it. He wasn't going to tolerate it. He wasn't going to accept it. And it was too comprehensive for him to be able to defeat it. Reform it, because it was so widespread throughout the government. He said they have classes. They have classes that everyone attends on how to learn how to cheat, lie, and steal. What classes are we taking? Are we developing our mode of living based on the plan and design of love, the system and structure of principle, the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of mind, the purity of spirit? Spirit is flawless. It's so flawless that it's related to a beautiful setting described by the Indians, American Indians. Beautiful lake that was calm, surrounded by beautiful landscape, and it was reflecting the landscape. They said the lake was the smile of the Great Spirit. Are we going to let personality enter into our identification of an individual? Or are we going to be like the expert who was talking about the performer, an actor, who said, yeah, this is good for this is good for this, that one I'm going to discard. You know, three qualities of the individual. One of them he's going to put in the trash, put in the shredder. Just disregard it, not even think about it. Make a short statement and that's it. He's going to enjoy his music. He's going to enjoy his art. Are we doing that with everyone? Looking for, trying to identify the good. Not the bad and the ugly, but the good. On page 115 and 116 of Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy, that's a chapter on science, theology, and medicine. Mary Baker Eddy describes on those two pages the different levels. The lowest is termed depravity. The next one is moral. A moral would be like being good to your, you know, being good to another person. The golden rule. And the divine is the top. That's where you're thinking only about perfection. Perfect God, which includes God's manifestation, which is perfect man. That's what Jesus had to think about whenever he saw someone that had a problem. He immediately went to a higher dimension. He didn't argue with a lower dimension, whether it was depravity or even moral. In fact, the moral level can sometimes be the trickiest. We might think we're doing something good, but is it really the goodness which is meant by spirit? One of the qualities of spirit is good, but that is good as in G-O-D. Like a number of languages define God to be good. They spell God with two O's. That's the good that we want to be cultivating. Not human good. However, there are steps that we must go through. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. So he had to express human love, human service, like washing his disciples' feet, human love, like healing the ear of the soldier that was arresting him, that Peter cut his ear off with his sword. He said, put up thy sword. Get out of the material level of dealing with a problem. Get in to the divine level. And when he was asked, when he was before Herod, are you the king of the Jews? He says, people say you're the king of the Jews. Are you the king of the Jews? He simply said, some say that I am. That didn't mean he was king of the Jews. Just said, some say that he is. Five words. Mr. Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson, one of the most advanced Christian Scientists, he was looking out a window with another Christian Scientist, and this was back probably around 1910. The other one was also advanced. And as they were looking out the window and discussing whatever they were discussing, there was a man that was driving a wooden cart full of rocks, pulled by an animal. And he felt a need to get out and examine the tailgate. And as he was back there checking it out, something alarmed the animal, and he raised up and dumped the whole load of rocks on the man. He was covered up. Frederick Rawson observed the situation, and he made the immediate statement, there is nothing but God. With that, the man jumped up through the rocks, totally unharmed, not a scratch. Obviously, Mr. Rawson had a very clear understanding about God and about the lack of reality in an accident or injury. So his conviction and his understanding brought about an instant healing. He didn't sit there and argue with it. He made a direct, short statement. I've never met anyone that I know of that could walk on water. And that includes what I see when I look in the mirror. But it certainly is easy to judge people based on what we think they have done that is improper. And therefore, very tempted to discard the person. As an idea of God, just throwing him away to the trash can. Are we going to look for something good from everything we see, whether it's an individual or an event, whatever it is? There is something good and there is nothing evil that is real. Either what we're seeing is a reminder to keep our thought where it needs to be, or is an example of the Christ consciousness being expressed. So either it's going to support what we should be striving to be, or it's going to be a reminder to reverse what we're doing in the way we think, talk, or act. Mary Baker Eddy states that we need to dig, do the research, to identify, again, a quality of soul, identify the cause of the problem. She doesn't say focus on the symptom. And so often, the cause of the problem is concealed and not at all related to the symptom. She says if you let something bother you, in fact, it's in that same article on vision. She said if you let something bother you, it will go to the weakest part of your body. It's like having a leak in a roof. It may drip through the roof, coming through the ceiling from inside, and drop water in a certain spot, but that it could have nothing to do with where the water is coming from. It could be coming from, you know, quite a distance away and then traveling underneath one or more layers of roofing. So the symptom may be quite a distance in thought, or in what one thinks is the problem, might be quite a distance from what the real problem is. And when she says, can we focus no matter what comes our way? Can we endure the problem? Meaning, can we manage it successfully to bring about a healing? And we can only do that if we're like the hierarchy in a company. We have to be at a higher level if we're going to manage someone that is working for us. We couldn't be a manager or wouldn't last very long as a manager if we weren't working at a higher level. We have to go up to the God level. Keep climbing until we get up there. So we have to dig and identify the real problem. Mary Baker Eddy's students, if they had a difficult time and weren't getting anywhere and trying to heal a situation, she let them come to her for advice. This is in the early days. Obviously, later she couldn't do this, except for a few select people, probably. And they would ask her, they would explain what was going on, and she would say, well, you're working on the wrong thing. She would immediately be able to know through her spiritual sense, soul, what they should be working on to solve the problem. So we have to identify the real source of what the problem appears to be. And then we have to expose it. It's like cutting down some trees if we want to get some light into the forest. We have to let the light shine on the problem. We have to dry up the swamp, drain the swamp, get the sunlight in there. And if we do a proper task on exposing it, that destroys a major portion of it. And the rest of it destroys itself. Do we realize the value of unity? We have to be unified with the Christ consciousness. We can overcome every evil if we're unified with the Christ consciousness. How do we negotiate with the devil? We have a couple of recordings on that. How can we be unified? There's a recording on that. Identity, very important key. God is all in all source, all manifestation. Because there is nothing but God. Amen.